I've never been in Rep Arena, but I have driven by it one time.
I just won't even go on the block.
You wouldn't go.
I'm just kidding. I don't think I've even driven by it. I don't know why we'd even want to go to Lexington. I'm just kidding. I'm starting off real quick on this one.
You're hitting hard already.
I think I've only been downtown Lexington maybe once.
Same with me.
And it was because I went to a football game there.
Okay. I was in Lexington. Christy and I took this little day trip up there. We went to this really cool restaurant downtown, and it was like, I don't remember who recommended this place to us, but it was just like, it was perfect. Just one of these little hole in the wall. Like, you're so glad that you found this place in Lexington. It's not like some, you know, it's just like the perfect little place. Also, like, near Rep Arena, there's this really cool, like, sculpture of like horses racing. Have you seen that?
Yeah. I was trying to think of what it, I remember it, but I didn't remember exactly what it was.
It's
so I'm glad.
Really, really
cool. Being a really cool sculpture.
But it's not like, it's like, you know, made out of, I don't know, cast iron or something like that, but it's like, or bronze or something like that, but it's not like the whole horse. It's just like little segments and you can just kind of tell what it is. Really, really, really cool.
Yeah. I only went to Lexington once. Maddie and I were in Kentucky a few weekends ago too. Yeah. Just took like a day trip. That's beautiful. The drive through the state of Kentucky.
Although, dude, this one time I took a group. I took a group of.
I was with you. I was in the front seat. Yeah. Always. Except for this year.
This is when Caleb still had his fro.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was New Year's, right?
Yeah, we took a ton of seniors in high school.
Yeah, seniors in high school. Took them to Chicago and to serve at the bridge. And the traffic gets diverted. And so they're taking us, dear listener, down through, like, they took us off the interstate because there was a wreck on the interstate or it was construction or something like that. So they take us off the interstate, just down through some just like two lane highway. We're out in the middle of freaking nowhere. And when we had been gone from, I mean, what are we, like 2 hours into our trip at this point?
Yeah, we weren't too far past like Jellicoe, Tennessee.
Yeah, this is like, we're not to Lexington. We're like barely in Kentucky. Well, as soon as we left the church, our buddy Nick Waraxa fell asleep. Like, it's just a car full of campaigner guys. Nick immediately falls asleep. And then when we get diverted onto this little two-lane highway, we're in like pretty rural area. Like, there's just a lot of like really, really kind of low income housing and just, it was just really kind of trailer parks, junky yards, all kinds of stuff. And Nick like just comes to, and the very first thing out of his mouth was,
you just use the first comes to.
Yeah. He wakes up, he looks out the window and he goes, I'm not going to lie, guys, this is exactly what I thought Kentucky would look like. We're like 5 minutes into Kentucky.
That is so ridiculous. Were we in Kentucky when we got robbed, or were we in Ohio?
We were in Ohio. Harrison, Ohio.
Which is basically Kentucky.
It's probably really close to Lexington.
This is
you
like,
feel like you're in Lexington.
You would think at this point Potsy would never park like this again. Like, Potsy has this thing where he will, like, if he's in a car a little bit bigger than a normal car, he won't, like, he'll park like perpendicular to parking spaces in them.
He'll,
so it's
like
three.
Six,
yeah, it's just like, like if he's in a minivan instead of a normal car, or like if he's in his truck, which is a you know, pretty big size truck, but it fits fine in a parking spot because I drive it sometimes. But he'll just like just slide on in there and take up, so like with two vans we're taking up like seven parking spots.
Oh, easily.
But we like perfectly put the doors up against some like Bradford pear trees next to a road. And like we went into Cracker Barrel, came out an hour later, the locks were drilled out and stuff was just gone.
All of our stuff was gone.
And it's kind
of
like, wait, my first thought was like, why did we park like this?
And ever since then, Potsy still parks that way.
Still does.
And I, you know, I get a little triggered every time I'm around Harrison, Ohio, but you know, it's basically Lexington.
Yeah. You're not far from it.
It's the feeling you have when you're in Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah. Like you're, yeah.
Like, I don't know why I'm here.
Yeah. It's cold and it's like not as cool as Knoxville.
It's not as pretty as Tennessee.
It's like not a cool college town.
Oh, easily not.
Yeah, and their sports aren't super great.
Especially the ones where they lose to our sports teams.
Yeah, especially when our sports team this year is pretty bad. Like, Tennessee basketball, not very good this year.
It's not our year.
Lost their best point guard. Yep. Their best player was their point guard. You know, just like hard year. A lot of turnover. Lost it's a ton of starters who pretty much dominated Kentucky at home last year during the season. It was beautiful. But, gosh, don't you love it when you're, like, beating a team by 17 in the second half?
I can't believe we're doing
just
this.
Just full of five stars and, like, number six in the nation. Possibly could be a one seed in the NCAA tournament right. if you do well in the SEC tournament. And then you just wet the bed. Man.
Oh, dear listeners that are not Austin White, we did that whole thing. Just that whole... Thank you for sitting through
that. If you're not friends with Austin White on social media, or just in life, you need to be, but mostly on social media, so you could just slide into his DMs and be like, hey, man, what happened last week? Are you okay? Do you need a pacifier? Are you okay?
Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a Bible study podcast when we're not ragging on our pals.
Thursday morning, you should text me and Lee and ask us if we're okay because we're going to get the worst text of all time.
It's going to be rough.
It's going to be so bad. I'm going to be in my office eating my bowl of cereal. I get to work to eat a bowl of cereal every morning, like 5 minutes early, but I drag it out for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Because my boss doesn't come until 30 minutes after I get there.
Well, that's just efficiency. What you're
cereal, talking. Coffee.
Yeah.
And I have my email page pulled up in front of me. So I click on one if I hear someone walk by. Crap. If anyone in my office listens to this, they're going to
go off of Minesweeper onto your email.
Someone in my company right now is listening to this.
You're done.
It's fine.
Oh, my gosh. Well, the best was when WAP asked you, wait, Hackney does petroleum? our friend Whopper works for Pilot. Like, so that was
they are, as far as convenience store chains in the country, they're in the top 10 for the amount Pilot Flying. There's like a list. I think they're number 6 or something. And he found out the company I work for, which I do marketing for, like a convenience store.
Wait, y'all do petroleum?
y'all have convenience stores.
So we're taking the season of Lent to talk about. Well, there's a couple of things that are kind of running into each other at once. One is that Thomas is reading the 1 year Bible for the first time in a lot of years.
Yeah,
for the first time since he almost died in a canoe.
That's a great story. You should ask me about
with Austin Morgan. But also, it's Lent, and so what we're doing is we're combining the fact that Thomas is revisiting a lot of some classic Old Testament stories for the first time in a long time with the season of Lent, which is the time of year, 40 days before Easter, where believers in Jesus just specifically and intentionally look at the death of Jesus, think about the cross, and introspectively look at their own life. So we thought we'd just kind of look at like some things that happen in the Old Testament that are kind of pictures of what Jesus would do for us. I don't know if this one's a stretch, but I think it's really cool.
Well, if it is, we're going to stretch it.
Let's go.
We're going to make it work.
Go ahead, Gumby. by the way,
did you just call me Gumby? I get it. I'm 6'3 and I weigh 180 pounds, but sheesh. Just
kidding. So on my way driving over to Thomas's house, we're at the Nest right now, and on my way driving over here, I looked up and realized, oh, it's full moon. And then I realized, oh, this is the last full moon before the Passover full moon. And I said that to you and you're like, oh, really? And it's like, yeah, this is kind of one of these weird little things that if you haven't read the book of Exodus in a while, that you might not realize that the Passover always happens on the full moon.
What's that saying about me? I read that a month ago, probably. I just forgot
it. Well, it's just, it's weird though, because it's like the way that he describes it. Like they named their months different things. They don't use the same calendar and stuff like that. Obviously Moses didn't use the same calendar as us, but,
you mean?
The 14th day of the month of Abib. And it's just like when they had a lunar calendar
based on the moon. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, anyway, Passover is always on a full moon. So this full moon that we're recording on right now is our last full moon before, which means that like the Garden of Gethsemane and all of that stuff, all of those things surrounding Jesus's death happened not only on a Passover, but also under a full moon. Kind of cool. Anyway, this is, we're going to read Exodus chapter 14, a part of Exodus chapter 14. And we're going to talk about something extremely familiar to everybody that's been to Sunday school.
Are you starting in 13 or are you starting 14?
Verse 13.
Oh, verse 13. I thought you told me. Okay.
Sorry. Chapter 14, verse 13.
Okay. Thank you.
That's super confusing. That's on me. Moses answered the people. Okay. So, little background, the nation of Israel has escaped out of Egypt. All the 10 plagues have come down from the hand of God onto Pharaoh to smite the Egyptians, and the nation of Israel has escaped. And then as they're leaving, Pharaoh changes his mind and sends his army after the people, and they make it to the Red Sea. And here we go. Get familiar. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid." They've got a sea in front of them and an army behind them. "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise out your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." The angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so that neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and a wall of water on their left. Dang, that is so cool. And obviously, this is like one of the most familiar stories from the whole canon of Scripture, but I like the idea of looking at this as not only as an amazing thing that God did, but as a very particular picture of something that Jesus was going to do for us, which is to make a way for us to be saved where there was no way.
Yeah. That's cool that you said it like that. That is the message of John the Baptist pretty That's early right. in the Gospels, right? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I just thought that was cool. I hadn't thought of that.
Well, not only that, but then you think about Jesus later in John chapter 6 saying, or John chapter 14 saying, "I'm the way and the truth and the life."
Mm-hmm.
And John chapter 14, verse 6, that's where the 6, I was like, where was that 6 in my brain? "I'm the way and the truth and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me."
Cool. I loved this whole thing super, like the thing that stood out to me when I read this, actually read this probably about a month ago, was it talked about
yet another full moon?
This was just, yeah, about another full moon. I never really realized the part about the wind and it happening all night. I thought that was so cool.
The all night thing. That to me too. When I actually read the 1 year Bible for the first time, and I read a lot of these stories for the first time, it was like so illuminating, things that I just didn't know because they skip over them in Sunday school or like the cartoons or movies you've seen about Bible stories. Like whenever Moses, like any movie version you've seen. Yeah. He just
puts down a staff.
Yeah.
It, boom. Instantly the
boom walls of water, you know, which like it would have been like muddy. It would have been awful.
Yeah, it'd been terrible.
Yeah.
Like if you were, I mean, this is like a silly thing about me, but I love to fish. And this past summer we started catfish noodling for the first time ever.
Gross.
I didn't really do it.
No,
I just watched my friends, but I got in the water a few times. And if you're on the bottom of a lake, not just an ocean, but a lake, you know, 10 feet off the shore, it's 6 inches of mud. And then when it sits out in the sun, the top layer will bake and then underneath it stays soft. So you just turns into quicksand, which is crazy. Wow. The thing that, so that's exactly cool. It's so cool that it,
yeah,
like that's just like a little nugget of like, this isn't even like a huge spiritual connection. It's just like, that's a cool thing you probably didn't know.
Yeah. This thing took 10 hours.
Yeah. Because it had to, you know, I mean, God could have snapped his finger and made the whole thing solid, but I love that that's in there, you know?
Right.
I loved the first line that we read was, "Do not be afraid." Mm-hmm. And the more you read scriptures, the more you realize there is no place for fear anywhere in them at all.
Wow.
There's no, like, the amount of times, you know, it may not even be a lot, but there's a lot of very important times that are started out with, do not be afraid. Don't fear, you know?
Yeah.
It's funny. It's almost like it's one of God's pet peeves. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but it's just funny. Like,
it's a really interesting way to put that.
Because it comes up a lot. It's just like, and it's probably because it's our natural reaction to a lot of things. Yeah. And like, to be frank, if I was being chased by an army, that I escape from,
fear would be one of the things that makes sense.
Right. And same thing, like if a giant angel appeared to me in the middle of the night, you know, like, you know, like to the shepherds in the beginning of the book of Luke, to Mary, like all the times where the first words out of someone's mouth are, don't be afraid. It's because they honestly had a legitimate reason to be afraid. Like, here comes spears and chariots and horses breathing down my neck. Like, I'm terrified. A being I've never seen in my life is now suddenly in my presence while I was asleep, you know? And like,
yeah,
it's so funny because all those were legitimate reasons to be afraid. And I think there's a lot of times in our life where like, it feels like a legitimate reason to be afraid. And I don't think the only time he seems to condone fear is when he's talking about himself, is like, fear me, you know, like, that's the only place where he's like checks off on it, which is funny.
Dude, I want to chase this a little bit more. That's really, really
chase
cool.
It. Run after it.
Because I think that exactly as you're saying, it's really easy to talk ourselves into, yeah, it makes sense to be afraid. And like on a purely human level, it totally, totally does.
There's a crazy virus going around in the world right now that we don't know much about.
Yes.
It makes sense to be afraid. There's all kinds of stuff happening in the world right now that like, you know, shootings, all kinds of things. It's like,
financial
markets
are responding to the virus thing. That's dipping out. There's all kinds of funky stuff. And not only that, but like just your own little stuff. I mean, like I've been actually like in a lot of car accidents, and which is a weird thing. Like, and like one of them was actually totally my fault. And then a lot of times I've just been hit by cars, which has sucked. And a week before I got married, I got hit. I got rear-ended.
Don't tell me that.
On the interstate.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no. Now
just
you're
like, my stomach just literally turned upside down. I'm
June 5th.
I'm 13 weeks old.
You're going to get crushed by some.
Oh, my gosh. He just said it out loud. You guys heard it.
I'm just kidding.
It doesn't take it back.
It's not a prophecy.
Well, maybe it is. Who knew? I'm present. I can decipher it.
Everything's going to be fine, T. But,
Maddie just pulled over and was like, Lee, I can hear it right now. You're going to get an angry text next Thursday.
Now, I'm going to get two angry texts.
Okay.
Because of the Rep Arena thing. But like, all this to say, the easiest thing in the world is to look at my life and my problems and my issues from a human perspective and human level and say, I have very good reasons to be afraid. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of scandalous, the thing that you said of like the idea that this is one of the Lord's pet peeves, because of how often he's just like, hey, don't be afraid. You know, you look at like, what a strange situation these Israelites were in. It's like, it's in the middle of the night or the sun has just set. And here's a sea in front of you. Here's an army behind you. And the Lord is like, I'm going to put up a fence of fire so they can't come through. And then you're just going to wait. And I'm going to do something that you've never heard of before. You've never thought of it before. And I feel like what you're bringing up about the, like, kind of the ubiquity of this don't be afraid thing in the scriptures is the idea that people that have the Bible in their hand, part of the point of that is it's a training ground for you to not be normal when it comes to good reasons to be afraid.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is that you have access into, yes, it makes sense to be afraid of this virus. It makes sense to be afraid of financial markets. It makes sense to be afraid of car accidents. Everything it makes sense to be afraid of things, but you're going to be fine. Like a week before everything's going to be fine.
I hope so.
It makes sense.
Maddie and I agreed if either of us gets coronavirus, we're allowed to get married right then. that moment.
It's a dispensation.
It's like, okay, we won't wait till the 13th.
But like a person who's holding the scriptures in their hand has the ability to find, to have a new outlook on the world. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be afraid.
Right.
And it's like, these people are being pursued by an army. There's a sea in front of them. There is no way.
Right.
And the thing that, the thing about this that gives me the picture of Jesus on the cross is like, no system, no idea, no other religion, no other thoughts, no other, you know, mindfulness, yoga, meditation, you know, any other religion or anything like that has ever come up with a real way for me to not feel bad about my wrong.
Right.
To not ashamed about my sin. You know, and I feel very pursued by it. Like when I think about my own life and my own heart and the pollution that's in my, in me, I feel pursued by it. And then, and it's like, and I don't have any way out of that. And all of a sudden the Lord is like, I'm going to come up with something that you've never thought of before. Mm-hmm. You've never thought of the idea that a road could be made in the middle of a body of water.
Right.
And then you're going to cross through that road and then the road is going to disappear. And then the people that are pursuing you are going to be drowned in the water.
Right.
That is so novel. It's so unique. It's so unbelievably. And that to me is the thing about the death of Jesus, is that like, God is like, I'm going to solve your problem of the sin that pursues you and the guilt and the shame and everything. And it's going to be something you never thought of.
Right.
You never would have come up with this in a kabillion years, that I myself am going to come down, become one of you, live a perfect life, and then give myself as a sacrifice in your place in this horrible way.
I think for me, a lot of times fear comes out of a place, like specifically fear that involves spiritual things and like that involve the Lord. It comes out of a place of me just not trusting what he says is going to be true.
Yeah.
You know, and like, this is cool that this happened. I read this thing today, like that actually happens during Holy Week, like in Mark chapter 14, really silly thing. I love that the Lord is like, Moses, why are y'all crying out to me? And tells him exactly what he's going to do. He said, right, this is what I'm going to do. And I imagine even though they're saying like God specifically said that to him, I imagine they're still afraid, you know, like, they're probably still terrified, even though the Lord said, I'm going to do this exact thing. And there's this really cool, like really subtle thing in Mark 14 where Jesus is about to do the, oh gosh, what's the thing called where he rides into town on the,
oh, on the
what's happening to us? What's happening?
Where he rides in on the donkey?
Yeah. What's it? Why can't we remember this? It's like the most,
triumphal entry.
Why was that the hardest thing ever?
We just fell apart. Also, why are your socks off of your heels but on your toes?
Because we played on that field and my feet got really dirty.
Thomas is only wearing his socks on his
toes. My
toes
are cold. My heels are warm.
And his, but his deal heels with it. Are unsocked. It's so strange.
Okay. So there's this thing that happens in Mark 14, right? 14 verse 13, where he says, right, he says to two disciples, he says, go into the city and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house, he enters. The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there. I just realized I was talking about the triumphal entry and this was in the Last Supper.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I was confused about that too, that you were talking about.
I know.
Mark,
I don't want to talk about this.
That's fine.
And then it says the disciples left, went into the city and found things just as Jesus had told them. He said this thing. In my head, this was the thing where they went and get the colt, which is another place.
Which is another
place. He says the exact same thing. Yeah. I read that really early this morning. It got confused.
No. Yeah.
Someone forgive me out there, please. This is, But anyways, it's just a cool thing where like, I love that it says it was exactly as Jesus told them. And I think there's so many times in my life where I just need to say, Jesus said it's going to go this way. I need to trust him. Or like, he says he's going to take care of me. I need to trust him. Or whatever the thing is. And there's so many places where it's like that, where if like fear and anxiousness, like for me, they often come from a place where I just don't trust the Lord. And I start creating things in my head, whatever. If I just decided I'm going to believe what he says is true,
Right.
It's a great little antidote there.
Yeah. And to bring this kind of in another way back to what Jesus was going to do on the cross, there's a place in 1 John where John says, there is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. A lot of the things that we're afraid of, there's a deep, sometimes unrecognizable part of us that feels like, the reason I'm afraid is because I deserve to be afraid. Mm-hmm. Because I deserve for something terrible to happen to me.
Right.
I deserve to have this situation crash down around me. I deserve to have to be paid back. And I deserve to have my past pursue me. I deserve to have, because of who I've been, I deserve to have bad things happen to me.
Right.
And so, like, you know, the idea of God goes out in front of the whole thing and says, don't be afraid. I'm going to do something unbelievable. And like, and by the way, like, after this happened, the Israelites never stopped singing about it. Like, it's in so many Psalms. If you made it a goal of like, I'm going to read through the Psalms one by one, and I'm going to be on the lookout for how many times the Red Sea moment, the parting of the Red Sea is mentioned.
Right.
Dude, you will find a lot of places.
Yeah.
They constantly talked about this. They constantly sang about it. It was such a huge thing. In other words, like, it was just like, hey, there was a time where we were hopeless. We had no prayer, and God did something no one ever could have thought of.
Right.
And he made a way where there was no way. And in the middle of it, told us, I don't want you to be afraid. And so for Jesus to do the same thing for, with his death on the cross, to make a way where there was no way, no one ever could have thought of what he was doing.
Right.
Even though there's prophecies about it and all that kind of stuff. And because of that, I don't have to be afraid. Because fear has to do with the idea that I deserve to be punished. And now, because of what Jesus has done, this is even hard to articulate, but like, I don't deserve to be punished. He so completely took my place that he took my wrong as if he had done it.
Right.
He became the guilty one. I am declared innocent and righteous for the rest of eternity. So I actually don't deserve to be punished.
Right.
That's trippy.
I know, it's funny. It's so funny because the thought I will sometimes have, did you ever take tests in high school, like multiple choice tests? And like when you didn't know the answer, you'd look back and see like, well, I put B a lot in A lately. Yeah. So C is probably due.
Yes.
You know, it's like.
Absolutely.
The amount of times.
And it wouldn't even take all that much frequency. I would just be like, oh, the last two were A, so there's no way this one's A as well.
Right, right. Yeah.
Even though I know that A is the right answer.
Right. There are times in my life where I feel that way, like I'm probably due a tragedy. I'm due, you know, someone in my life is probably gonna die soon. It's just time, probably. Right. I'm 26, it's gonna happen. Or like, you know, I'm gonna find out this thing about myself and my next doctor's, whatever the thing is. It's such a silly thought that I deal with, and there's nothing to support it anywhere. You know, it's so funny. Right. It's so funny how our minds work, and like, not even that. It's so funny how Satan works. Like, I don't know if he's the one whispering that stuff to me, but he knows how to get me to think certain things. He's just a genius. Like,
he's also a jerk.
He's a jerk, and Jesus says he's the father of lies, and that's his native tongue. And like, English is my native tongue. I don't have to think about it, and I'm really good at it. You know, like, I've done it my whole life, and he's been around a lot longer than me.
You can just make up presentations about stuff you don't even know anything about.
We can't.
And then
out my entire job performance here.
And then your boss
here.
Is just like, praise you. Oh, you did such a great
job.
We
can't do this like, right now. Whoop. I was making such a good point, I thought.
Yes,
think
his
about,
native tongue.
It's his native tongue. He's spoken it a lot longer than I've been around. You know, he's been messing with people for a long time. He is a professional at it.
Oh, yeah.
He's a genius at it. And he's a genius at me, which is so funny. He knows what to do to me to get me to think the most ridiculous things. And it sucks. But it helps me to remember that stuff. It helps me remember that scripture. I think it's John chapter 8 where Jesus says that. And I think it's that, yeah, that has like unlocked a lot of things for me lately. I heard that. I was actually preparing for a Young Life Club talk last week in John chapter 8, and my Streetlights Bible kept going. And it just, I cut it off right after he said that. And I was like, what if I meditated this on this for a little while? And it, yeah, helped me out a lot, which is so funny. That's a big derailment from what we were talking about, but
it's great.
Anywho,
I love that. I love that he made a way where there was no way.
Yes.
I love that he came up with something nobody would have thought of. And I love that the one of the biggest results of what, not only what God did for Moses and the Israelites, but what Jesus has done for us, is we don't have to be afraid anymore.
Right. That's right. Oh, praise the Lord. There's a lot of scripture for that, and I need to believe it, you know?
Yeah.
There's a, one time a friend of mine, we were playing golf together, and I was talking about a scenario in my life, and I said, I'm going to do this because I think it's scriptural. And he says, yeah, in my Bible, there's a lot of things that say that, and there's not a lot of things that support the other thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you should do that thing, you know? And I was like, that's a good way of putting that. In my Bible, there's a lot of things that support the idea of not being afraid about things. And I should probably listen to it.
Mm.
That's good. It's funny. I keep bringing the topic back to that when we decided we were going to talk about Lent. Sorry.
No, it was great. I think it all works. Today's podcast has been brought to you by, the Tennessee Vols men's basketball team.
And for John Calipari, because I like him a lot. I really do. I tell Austin White that all the time.
Who doesn't?
He's a fantastic coach. I also like Austin White a lot.
Austin's wife is having a baby.
He didn't make it this far, by the way. He's not listened to the rest of the
episode. Austin's wife is having a baby, little boy, and she is a huge Tennessee fan. So what do you think? Who do you think baby Charlie's going to pull for?
I don't know. I wonder if he's named after Charles Davis, the great football player for Tennessee who now does NFL broadcasts.
Mm, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, folks. I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas. Well, that was,
this has been
that,
I think that too far.
That's bad.
Tired, and I need you to take this off of me.